Blog Talk Radio.
Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Precious saints, hope you're all doing well today. The question, the number one question, the only question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's all that matters. The question is not where you went to school, how many degrees they have, are you rich, are you famous? Have you made a lot of money? Are you a millionaire? Are you a billionaire? Are you an entrepreneur? No, those questions don't matter. When it all boils down to this one, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's all that matters before God. What shall it profit a man, says the scriptures? What shall it profit a man? To gain the whole world, to gain every achievement, to gain every title, to gain all its money, to gain all its fame. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Oh, what shall it profit a man? Nothing. Thus we turn to Jesus that through his vicarious atonement and his precious blood, our sins may be erased, canceled, washed away by the blood of the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. I hope and pray that you were blessed last night when you attended the prayer meeting. I want to encourage you, listen, you need to get on nice and early for the half hour of instruction, our prayer institute. It's going to bless you. It's going to strengthen you. And read the book with us on the power of prayer. We're praying. We're believing. We're trusting God for a visitation like we haven't seen in over 100 years. We're so desperate, saints. Listen, most churches, most pastors, don't want to admit how desperate things are, but these are desperate times. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And God said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers from in heaven and I will heal their land. Oh, we need to be praying without ceasing. So join us Tuesdays. And you have a prayer list of things we encourage you to pray for each and every day. Like, pray for the streets of St. Johnsville. Not just for streets. We're not asking you to pray for the concrete and the tar and the name of the street, we're asking you to pray for the people who live on those streets. If they're Christians, pray that God will strengthen them and empower them by his Holy Spirit, that they may bear a greater witness for Christ in these dark and evil days. And if they're not Christians, pray that the Lord would save them. So we're praying for every family on every street in St. Johnsville. We're praying for every pastor and every church and every deacon board and every trustee board. We're just praying and praying and praying, not just for ourselves, but for all, that God would bring heaven to St. Johnsville. That's what we're praying for. We're praying. So we're in this text. I'm believing God. I am believing God. I may be the only one. I don't know. I'm believing God. Call me foolish if you want to. Call me crazy if you want to. Say a pastor's got some loose screws if you want to. I'm believing God for the impossible, because that's what he specializes in, the impossible. I'm believing God for great things. The great evangelist, D.L. Moody, this is what he said. He said, D.L. Moody, if God is your partner, make big plans. That's what the famed evangelist D.L. Moody said, who crisscrossed the globe preaching Christ and him crucified. He said in his broken English, one time Moody went to London and he was preaching, and the British were laughing at his English. He had broken English. Moody was originally from Chicago. And his English wasn't that good. It was horrible. The British laughed when he preached. His words, he mispronounced so many words. They were laughing at the beginning of the service, but at the end of every service, the altars were filled with weeping Brits, crying out to God that he might forgive them of their sins. You see, D.L. Moody never allowed his broken English, his schooling, to be an impediment to his calling. He preached and people laughed. But by the time he ended his sermon, they were up at the altar crying out to God for mercy, crying out to God that they might be saved. D.L. Moody said, if God is your partner, if God is your partner, make big plans. So what are my plans? My plans, I'm asking God for 1,000 souls for Grace Church. That's what I'm planning for. I got it all in my mind how we would work everything out. I'm asking the Lord for 250 children. That's right, 250 children. And that's not impossible. That has already been done. The founders of Grace Church had a Sunday school. The records show that the founders of Grace Church had a Sunday school of 250. That has already been done. So if the Lord graces us with 250 children, he is only matching what he did in the past. And I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that what he did in the past, he can do today. I'm asking the Lord for 250 youth. I'm asking the Lord for 250 young adults, young married couples, ready to have families. And I'm asking the Lord for 250 adults / seniors. And I'm basing my petition before God on this text, which is a promise. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will make it happen. I will hasten it. I will see to it that in its time it comes to pass. It comes the past. So now we've been drawing a distinction. We've been doing a contrast between the Old Testament grew, multiplied, increased in numbers by the act of generation. What is generation? Well, generation is life produced by man. A man gets married, and he has children with his wife. That's how the ancient church grew. When you read the book of Numbers, when you read the fourth book of the Old Testament, there's a census at the beginning of the book, and there's a census at the end of the book, and the census records all of the men, the number of men above the age of 20 that were ready for military service. You had to be 20 years old in ancient Israel to be drafted to military service. And so each tribe, the tribe of Issachar and the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Judah, all the tribes, all 12 tribes, Benjamin, Naphtali, Zebulun, all the tribes gave their census. They went throughout the tribe. They took down the names and the numbers of the men, and they were in the thousands. So the ancient church did not grow by evangelism. The ancient church grew by the numerical growth of families. Now, started with Abraham, the first patriarch. And as you know, his wife Sarah was barren. And at 100, God blessed Abraham and Sarah with what? A child by the name of Isaac. One child. That pair. Now, Abraham had a concubine named Hagar. She had one son named Ishmael. And then after Sarah died, Abraham remarried. He remarried a woman named Keturah. She had six sons. But the son who inherited the church, the son who inherited the calling, the son who inherited the biblical promise that through him shall all the families of the earth be blessed, was Isaac. So generationally, Abraham was one, and then the next generation was one. Then Isaac marries, and his wife's name is Rebekah, and she's barren, and she bears not. And Isaac goes to praying. He goes to entreating the Lord, and the Lord gives him twins. But from the twins, God elects Jacob to be the bearer of the promise. So notice, you have the generation of Abraham, one. The generation of Isaac, two. The generation of Jacob, three. In each generation, there is one key person. So for a long time, there was one little one. The first generation, the little one there was Abraham. The second generation, the little one was Isaac. The third generation, the little one was Jacob. And it's when Jacob comes on the scene that the family goes from 1-1-1 to 1-1-1-12. 12. He has 12 sons through four different women, two wives, two concubines. So, turn to page 3 because this is where we are today. And you say, but Pastor, this is taking so long. Well, I told you that the Old Testament church grew very, very slowly. Very slowly. Extremely slow. Because a woman has to get pregnant. She has to carry the child for 9 months. And then at some point she delivers the child. And then that child has to grow. And then she has to get pregnant again. And so the church did not grow by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob witnessing and evangelizing and bringing people to God that way. They were told to stay away from the heathen and to have the church grow from within. One will eventually, in God's time, become 1,000, the way it was in the Old Testament. So today we want to look at Genesis 28, because the baton passes from Isaac to Jacob. And so in Genesis 28, we're going to start reading at verse 10. And the word of God says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was about to set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder went up on the earth and reached the top of heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today's lesson as we see how one becomes a thousand, how you bring it to pass, how there's a difference between how you bring it to pass in the Old Testament and how you do it today in modern times. Oh, God, bless us as we delve into your word. The promise remains the same. Whether it's the Old Testament church or the New Testament church, God promises to give us thousands. Bless us, oh, God, we pray, as we claim your promises, as we come to you in faith, saying, look, Lord, your word says this. When will you do it for us? When will you gift us with a thousand redeemed souls? Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you see, this promise that was made here to Jacob was already made to Abraham and had already been made to Isaac. Now, as we said, the baton is passed from Isaac. It's like a relay race, a spiritual relay race, one founding father, the first Abraham passing the baton to Isaac, and then Isaac passing the baton to Jacob. And so here we have Jacob, who's on the run for having stolen his brother's birthright. Esau is furious. Esau is mad. Esau wants to kill his brother Jacob. And so Isaac and Rebekah send Jacob away. This way there will be no repeat of a Cain and Abel situation. And so here you have Jacob. He's on the run and he's on his way to his uncle's house, to his mother's brother's house, Laban, and he doesn't make it in one day, so he has to sleep out in nature. And while he's asleep, there he has a dream, Jacob the dreamer. And he has this dream of this ladder, this one ladder, which again typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is that one ladder to heaven, that one way to God. And here the Lord speaks to Jacob and says in verse 10, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest. To thee I will give it, and to thy seed. At this point, Jacob has no children. He's got none. In verse 14, it says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. There it is again. How is that possible? For, listen, every generation, God said to Abraham, your seed will be as the dust of the earth. And all he had was Isaac. And to Isaac, God says, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And all he had was Jacob and Esau. How is this even playing out? Well, God says, he makes the promise, and it's up to God to fulfill it. It says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad. You'll have so many descendants that some will live in the west, some in the east, some in the north, some in the south. They're not going to live in the same community. They're going to be so many thousands that they're going to take all of Canaan. Many of your descendants will live in the north. Many other thousands will live in the south. Many others in the east. Many others in the west. You will have thousands. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because through the Jewish people will come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, Jacob goes from one. Remember, it's Abraham 1, Isaac 2, Jacob 12. Well, you must be saying, at this pace, boy, when are they ever going to get to 1,000? When are they ever going to get to 1,000? Well, let's turn to Genesis 37. The baton goes from Jacob now to Joseph. He is Joseph. Genesis 37. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. The picture that you have there is of Joseph the dreamer. His father Jacob was a dreamer, and Joseph is a dreamer. So let's go to Genesis 37. We're going to read from verses 1 through 11. Genesis 37. Open your Bibles. Follow along with me. It'll bless you.
Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them,
"Please, hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then, behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf."
And his brothers said to him,
"Shall you indeed reign over us?
Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?"
So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words.
So as you can see in the little picture, there's one sheaf standing and the other ones are bowing. That's the picture. That's the dream. And the brothers picked it up quick. They said, "Listen, the ones bowing is us, and you think you're some monarch. You think you're something special. You're above us because Father loves you and Father has doted on you and Father has blessed you with this magnificent coat, this expensive coat." They said, "You must be crazy. We're never going to do that." Well, he has another dream. And the dream, the second dream, is a confirmation of the first dream.
Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers.
"Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me."
So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him.
"What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?"
And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
His brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying, or his father kept the matter in mind. In other words, the father made a notation. Why? Because the father knew that not only was he his favorite, but now because of these dreams, Joseph was God's favorite. That Joseph would one day indeed, God would hasten the prophecy God would hasten the dream. God would make it come to pass. One day, Joseph would be sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites will in turn sell Joseph for a profit to the Egyptians. In Egypt, Joseph will suffer immensely, but he will rise through the ranks. One day he will become prime minister of Egypt by interpreting a dream for Pharaoh. One day there'll be a famine in the land. His father and his brothers will be forced to go to Egypt. And there, as prime minister, they will bow before him. You see, my brothers and sisters, one Abraham, one Isaac, right? Isaac has two sons. The promise passes from Isaac to Jacob, and then from Jacob to Joseph. 11 sheaves bowing before Joseph. The sun and the moon. What's the sun? The sun is Jacob. The moon is the mother, the adoptive mother, Leah, because Rachel, his mother, has already passed. So Leah is the moon. Jacob is the sun. The 11 stars are his brothers, and they're all bowing to Joseph. So as you can see, incrementally, the church, the ancient church, is growing. Despite its in-house fighting, despite the envy, despite the selling of the brother to the Ishmaelites, Joseph said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for what? Good. Okay, so now we find ourselves in Egypt, right? Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1. As we follow the growth of the ancient church, this slow, you can call it snail pace growth. The church is growing at a snail's pace. But here it is, Exodus 1. Let's listen. Open your Bibles. Follow me along. Follow the scriptures. This will bless you. All right. Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 1.
The book of Exodus. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher.
Those are the 11 brothers and the father. Those names, starting with Reuben and ending with Asher, those are the 11 brothers, and Jacob is the father. Now look at verse 5.
All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already.
Now look at the way the King James puts it. And all the souls, not all the persons. The New King James says all the persons. All the persons that came down, all the persons that came down with Jacob were 70 souls. But the King James puts it accurately, and all the souls, because that's what they are, souls, redeemed souls, all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. Notice the repetition, for Joseph was already in Egypt. So let's continue reading at verse 6.
And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them.
So there you have it. Listen, verse 6, and Joseph died and his brethren and all that generation. Notice, Abraham produced one, Isaac. Isaac produced two, right? Esau and Jacob. Jacob produced 12. And by the time Jacob goes down into Egypt with his 11 sons, there are 70 souls. And that's what it says in verse number 5. There were 70 souls. In verse 7 it says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land of Egypt, Egypt to the north, the south, the east, and the west, the land of Egypt was filled with them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you see, God in his time took Abraham. Oh, it was slow. It was slow. Snail pace. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph. They come down 70. By the time Joseph and his brothers die in that generation, they were in the thousands. You see, my brothers and sisters, God promises. This is what God promises. And I want you to see, God is not a man that he should lie to us. God is not deceiving us. God is not saying, hey, here's this promise, and then he walks away and he never fulfills it. No, he fulfills it. He will bring it to pass. He will hasten it in its time. The beautiful thing is that in the Old Testament, it took forever, but not in the New. In the New Testament, 1,000 can happen in one day. That's the beauty. That's what we're going to study tomorrow. But let's finish up Exodus. Let's finish up Exodus chapter 1. We read up to verse 7. Let's continue reading verses 8 and following.
Now, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people,
look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land.
Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burden. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel.
The more they afflicted the ancient church, the more they afflicted the people of God, the more the people of God multiplied and grew. So much so that the Egyptians in dread were in fear of the people of God. My brothers and sisters, when we grow, when we multiply, Satan and his minions will be in fear of the people of God. That will do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow to finish our contrast between Old and New Testament growth and to show how in one day, if God so wills it, if God so decrees it, he can fill Grace Church with 1,000 souls in one and one day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson today. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us along, showing us that when you promise something, you just don't promise it and then wait for us to forget. No, you record the promise, but you also record its development and ultimate fulfillment. Do that for us, Lord. Grant us 1,000. We're not asking you for thousands. We're asking you for 1,000. 1,000. We're asking you for 4 services on Sunday. 4 packed services at Grace Christian Church. You've given us a building, Lord. You saw to it back in 1875. You gave us a building that can fit 250 comfortably. Now, Lord, we pray that you would fill that church four times on Sunday. Bless us, O God, we pray. We're claiming your promise that one shall become 1,000. 1,000. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed.